This morning's scripture is Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. If you'd like to read along in the Bible, the Pew Bible, it's on page 1158. For he himself is our peace. Oops, I'm sorry. I think I'm reading the wrong thing. 3:14. Here we go. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. What does it feel like to be in love? Can you put it into words? Perhaps you feel like life just couldn't be any better. You have no cares in the world. That eye contact, the smile of that certain one, maybe a hug. Sometimes it's hard to describe the feeling of love. It's hard to put into words. We see a lot of newborn babies in our congregation. A picture is just worth a thousand words. What is it we're feeling? You can see it on the teenagers' faces. The most intelligent thing we can think to say is, "Aw, aw." And that's what we heard. What a little miracle. You have to see the baby to believe it. How can we love a baby any more than we already do? Being overcome with wonder puts us in tune with the power and the love of God. Are there days when you just love life? Maybe that first clear day in August when it's not 90 degrees and it's not 90% humidity. Perhaps a pleasant 75 to 80, 45 to 50% humidity. I love those days. Some days we feel great joy. We just love life. It's a great day to be alive. When that little newborn of yesteryear has grown enough and become just interdependent enough to stand up front here, stand up with the preschool class and sing, "Jesus Loves Me." She looks out there for mom or dad, and you return a big smile, and you get that camera ready. Oh, another awe moment. Aha. When Willie goes off to his first day of kindergarten, perhaps the tears come, both yours and his. You just want to hang on to that hug, but it's time to let go just a little. the day when that child enters the waters of Christian baptism, expressing his or her intent to grow in the faith as a child of God. What a blessing. I remember that feeling I had when I was just 11 years old and I was baptized. I rose out of that water and I was determined to lead a perfect life from then on. And by bedtime, I had failed. I don't remember what I needed to ask forgiveness for, but it was probably something really big, like arguing with one of my two sisters. And I've had a lot of occasions since then to ask forgiveness. How about that sullen teenager? That teenager for whom nothing is right. Perhaps love isn't the first word that comes to mind. It's hard to keep in mind that this may be just a part of growing into independence. We hope and pray that that's all it is, just a phase. But we worry. What about the high school graduation? In spite of that sullen teenager, he actually did make it through to graduation. Aren't we feeling a bit of pride and love? Maybe more relief than anything. What do we feel? Then that adorable baby has finally reached the point of independence, the big wedding day. Young love. What a joy it is to celebrate. Life just doesn't get any better than this. Ah, love. The life cycle then begins to repeat itself again and again. We watch with joy and excitement. New life, new love. Then the effects of our aging bodies begin to make themselves known. Those little aches and pains, the sagging muscles, the extra padding we seem to have acquired, concern for the future. The focus of love even seems to change a bit. Perhaps our ideas of love mature a bit. We feel that love from the support of a spouse, our family, our friends during difficult times, times of crisis, a hug, a phone call, a card, a note, a visit to the funeral home, an invitation to dinner. We've failed, we've made dumb mistakes. We felt foolish, but we're offered forgiveness, forgiveness that we don't feel we've deserved. We're given understanding and another chance. That's what love feels like. Perhaps we've had to move to a new community with new neighbors, even had to find a new church family. It's a lonely time. But when a smile, an offer of friendship, acceptance, and inclusion is offered, we feel good. That's what love feels like. There is a lot of talk about love in the Bible. Love is not an option. In the 19th chapter of Matthew, Jesus commanded us to love. He said, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus put love your neighbor as yourself in with some pretty serious sins. Is loving all people really as important as not murdering, stealing, lying, dishonoring your wedding vows, or caring for your parents? There's a lot of evil in this world. People are the cause of much of it. How can we love our neighbor as ourselves if our neighbor is part of that evil? Now, I certainly don't have all the answers, but I do believe that we need to take that command seriously. Love is not just a feeling. Love is also a choice. Jesus taught us to love our enemies, something we could never do on the basis of feelings about them. It isn't an option to not care. To ignore another's need is to display an absence of love. Love starts with the heart of God. We were created by God, and love is foundational to our faith. Love affects our attitudes and our behaviors. God's love, agape love, describes the kind of generous, selfless, compassionate love that is characteristic of God, embodied in Jesus, and is expected of us as Christians, followers of Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 13, we know it as the love chapter, we read, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." We aren't given the privilege of deciding who is accepted into the family of God. Day by day, love for all people has to be learned and exercised. Some days it is even difficult to express love toward the people that we find easy to love. Sometimes our family. And we have to work at it. But it's a whole lot harder to express that love for the difficult people we encounter. And Jesus never told us it would be easy. Love for those difficult to love people may not give us that warm feeling we share with our friends and those people who are easy to love. We might have to sacrifice our own emotional comfort, perhaps time out of our day, maybe money out of our pocket. When we think about what God has done for us in Jesus, and we experience God's presence in our lives, our love for God deepens, and we naturally want to return that love through actions that are pleasing to God. We begin to see those hard-to-love people through different eyes. They are also God's creation. Pastor Fred Rogers of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood was quoted as saying, "Love isn't a state of perfect caring. It is an active noun like struggle. To love someone is to strive to accept that person exactly the way he or she is, right here and right now." That's really hard to do. But I think that Fred is correct. To accept that person exactly the way he or she is, right here and now? Oh, we think it would be easier to love him if he didn't do and you fill in the blank, or I accept her if only she would. We receive God's love by grace, freely given. We, in turn, are to give it away without judgment. We are to pass it on. Most of us at some point have need to overcome loneliness, to find a family or group to be a part of, a place of acceptance and inclusion. We need to feel valued. It takes a lot of courage for a lonely person to enter the doors of any church. Have you had that experience? Some have. Many of us have. Some perhaps recently, and some it was years ago. And some of the younger people have never gone to any other church, and you may face that in the future. Having moved to different parts of the country a half dozen times through the years, Dave and I have had that experience. We know and remember the feelings. That experience varied a great deal. Each time, we carefully considered the theology of the denomination, then the location. Is it close enough that we can participate on a regular basis? When our boys were little, we wondered if there would be any other children. Now, this was the days before internet and websites, so there were a lot of unknowns. In our experience, what seemed to be the deciding factor was, did we feel God's love present this morning? Did we feel God's love present this morning? I have to say that too many times the answer was, well, no, not really. We may have participated in a well-planned worship service, heard a good message, participated in great music, but what we remembered most was, did we feel God's love expressed through God's people? It took great courage to enter an unknown church. And too often, we left with the same lonely, awkward feelings in which we entered. Perhaps people were shy. I certainly understand that. It took me years to overcome shyness. But we kept looking until we felt God's presence in worship. And we always found a church home we were comfortable in. We benefited by making some wonderful lifelong Christian friends whom we've known for many years. We don't see them often because of distance, but when we are able to be together, we pick up right where we left off. God's love is felt in sharing our lives. Supportive Christian love can carry a person through the ups and downs of life, through joy, and through personal crisis. In many churches, as in ours, love is often expressed and friendships formed in Sunday school classes or other small groups. People then become part of a caring community. We get to know one another. We recognize and accept our differences. We support one another through times of crisis and times of joy. As love for that newborn continues to grow, we think, how much more can we love? But our love does continue to grow. It grows throughout life. As we spend increasing time with God, love grows. We begin to recognize the presence of God in all of life's special moments. When we ask the Holy Spirit to enter our hearts, we are seeking the presence of God within to ground us in love. We recognize the incredible truth that God loves us enough to dwell within us and among us, and to bless us and to guide us through the darkness of the world. He uses us to help brighten that dark world. Feeling God's love can lift us out of the difficult pits we all find ourselves into at times. If we can just grasp the greatness of God if we can incorporate love into our lives, just a smidgen of God's grace and a touch of God's love, perhaps we can become like magnets to others. If we have influence on other people, let it be because they admire and respect the inner peace that we have and the outer love that we show as children of God. Let us pray. Our God, it is difficult for us to understand the magnitude of your love for us. We find it hard to follow your mandate to love all people. We prefer to live in our own small world and within our private comfort level. To those who are close to us, to those who think like we do, who live like we do, as we seek to be faithful to your mandate to love all people, help us to broaden our horizons and to reach out in love to all people. Give us wisdom and strength to love those whom we find it hard to love. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus, amen.